One of the interesting things that I've noticed about the current financial situation is, and maybe you're different than this, but the thing I've noticed is everyone kind of compares the recession, the economy, the markets to the housing market as well, right? Talking about real estate. I don't know how many times I've heard over the last 6 months, yeah, but the housing market in Denver is doing really good still. Or the commercial market, like it may be going down, we may be able to buy a church building soon. That's not a promise, that's a hope, right? Like we're hoping. But we equate it to the real estate market quite a bit. I don't know about you guys. I've sold a house in the last year and a half. It's a crazy experience for those of you who've bought or sold a house. I remember the first time that Ashley and I sold our house. It was a tiny house we bought for like $80,000 in Abilene, Texas. And we were selling it. And there's a terrifying moment when you sell a house. And that's when people come and like judge you for how you've treated this property the time you've owned it. Right? You're like, well, I didn't have a problem with it. And like, oh, we have this problem with it and this problem with it and this problem with it and this problem with it. And you're like, do you just hate me as a person? Like, are you judging my lifestyle right now? And I remember when we sold our first house, and we're trying to make a little bit of money off of it so we can put a down payment on this other house we're trying to buy in Atlanta. And these people are coming in and they're going, yeah, it's great, except for this, this, and this. We fixed this, this, and this. And I'm like, what do you mean? We fixed so many things. But one thing came back that we couldn't ignore, and that was a foundation. It was an old pier and beam house that the foundation had started sinking in our kitchen. And we're like, man, how much does it cost to like fix a foundation? And we had called this company, and we had them out, and we had to finance it because we couldn't afford it, even with the selling of the house, which immediately turns us upside down on this thing. And I remember like that, but to sell it, we had to fix it, right? It was that much of a problem that if we didn't fix it, it was going to continue to be a problem. It was a headache. It was a nightmare. It was so frustrating because the ground under this house had shifted. And to fix this, there's someone who had to come into my backyard and on my patio, they had to cut out a huge square of my slab of my patio, move it aside, and then dig up under my house. And then they had to dig a hole. And in that hole, they took a concrete block about this big, and they sunk it, and they had this machine that pushed it down. And then they would put another concrete block on top of that and push that down. And then another one, and another one, and another one, until they hit bedrock. But once they hit bedrock, it was good because you knew that that was a solid foundation. That wasn't going to shift. And that while the rest of the house may fall around, that one corner was still going to be there in 100 years, right? There was nothing physically could move that other than God himself, maybe some dynamite. But I remember the foundation work. I remember the nightmare. I remember the fascination with him doing it. And I remember the importance of a proper foundation, right? When we had a house, right, we had a foundation that wasn't working. It wasn't the way it was supposed to be. And it was becoming a problem for us. It broke all of our tile in our kitchen. We had to replace all that too. And it was going to become more and more of a problem for future house owners if we didn't fix it. If the foundation wasn't solid, the house didn't have the same value. But having a solid foundation, it made our house significantly more valuable enough that we were able to sell it and make a little bit of money that we're kind of upside down because we had to fix the foundation, right? This is a similar concept that Jesus talks about in Matthew chapter 7, right? Today's our last day in the series that we're calling The Good Life. I know we've been in this for, it seems like, all of 2020, but today is our last morning. We've gone through the entire, we started in Matthew 5, and we're now here at the end of Matthew 7. We're at the end of this sermon that Jesus preached. And in this sermon, Jesus talks about a lot of different things and things that appear one way, but when we really dive deep into Scripture, we understand that in light of the crucifixion and resurrection, they're actually something different for us. And regardless of which passage we look at, we know that the Sermon on the Mount is Jesus calling us to live a better life. And the only way we can live this good life that he lays out is by trusting him in the crucifixion and sacrifice he made for us on the cross in light of the resurrection and his conquering of death. But when we know that, when we know what Jesus accomplished on the cross, we can grasp how he taught us to live in a different light. And at the end of this sermon, this is what Jesus is having to say, right? It's the very end of it. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. He says, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall because it had a foundation on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them
will be like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it.
So at the very end of this sermon, Jesus has given all of this information, right? And this kind of cornerstone teaching of his ministry. He's saying, look, I've given you the secret sauce here, right? Like, I've given you the recipe. You better use it, right? This should be the foundation for your life. And if you hear these words and you don't make them the foundation, like, you're missing the point. And in it, he compares us, the individual, right, the listener or the reader, to a person who ingests the information. Then we have the decision. What are we going to do with it? Can we read through this and just go, okay, well, that's good advice, Jesus. Let's go along our way. Or does it change anything for us? That's the real question that Jesus is asking. He's saying, look, either this becomes a foundation of your life, or this is just some good words. Or maybe you didn't like it at all. The choice is up to you. But I promise you this, if you don't make this your foundation, you're going to regret it. And so in this analogy, Jesus is obviously using the house metaphor. And so I want to look at this for just a second and take a look at what foundations do and then what it means for us to apply the words of Jesus as our foundation. You see, because the first thing that happens is when you make Jesus your foundation, you're committed for the long term. You're committed for the long term. It's not a short-term thing, right? It's a long-term thing. A short-term foundation is one that's going to fall out from beneath you. Have anyone ever been up to Evergreen in the winter when they have the ice fishing shacks on the lake there? It's fascinating to me. It's also terrifying to me because it literally is a foundation that disappears over time. Like, it just goes away. Like, it's crazy, but people will sit in these things and fish. And in one sense, I really want to do it, like, right after, like, a really big freeze and, like, the middle of winter, not towards the melting part of winter. I want to experience that at some point, but knowing that those houses are very temporary. The little huts are temporary. I'm sure maybe you've seen some of these pictures or videos where it shows what happens when they don't take the fishing huts off the ice soon enough, and they're like underwater, or maybe like a roof is sticking up out of the lake, and you're like, how'd that roof get there? Well, that person didn't take their fishing hut off in time, and now they regret it. Hopefully they weren't inside when it fell in. You see, what most of us do with our time on this earth will be meaningless in comparison to eternity. Like, I mean, the time we're alive here may seem like forever, especially if you're a kid and don't have a driver's license yet. Remember that? It's like, just if I could just be 16, like, everything will be better. Like, and 16 seems so long ago at this point. I still remember the first place my parents let me drive by myself was to work because I had to pay for gas. And they gave me the keys to that 1992 Lincoln Town Car. And let me tell you, that had the Interceptor engine in it, which was a mistake on their part, because I could go fast in it. But it was a boat, right? It was a safe, very safe vehicle. Huge. Drove that thing to work for the first time. It was awesome. Right? It felt like it was great. It felt like it took forever to get to that point where I could finally drive by myself. But it's such a small time. Our whole experience, our whole life here, right? Ask someone who's older than you. Ask one of your grandparents or parents. It goes by so quickly. I'm looking at my children and going, wait, the first one was just born. How do I have four now? And how does the first one have body odor? Like, where does that happen? No one prepared me for this. He was just a baby. I just brought him home from the hospital. It goes by quick. Our time here on this earth, start to finish, is like this. It's so minuscule. It doesn't even chart in comparison to all of eternity. And what Jesus is saying is, hey, look, you got to build a foundation. You have to have something that it is in it for you for the long term. Not just a little bit, but the forever. And if we don't have a foundation of Jesus, we may think we live a great life in this tiny little bitty part of when we're here on earth, but the truth is that foundation's going to fall apart the second we die. Our foundation has to be Jesus. It's a long-term investment. And here's a harder question for us as believers. Then why would we sometimes build a foundation on something that doesn't last? Why would we do that? A few years ago, I was in Galveston,
in Texas. Not Galveston, Padre, South Padre Island in Texas. And South Padre Island is a very unique place in the world because the sand on South Padre Island is like the most, it's the best sand for building sandcastles. And so like these like world champion sandcastle competitions are held on South Padre Island. And I remember one year I was down there with some buddies. We're just hanging out, having a good time. We're walking. I think we were actually walking to a little shack to go get fish tacos, because that's what you do when you're on South Padre Island. And we walk by and we see that there's these elaborate sandcastles. Like some of the most incredible things I've ever seen made out of sand. And they were beautiful. They were huge. I got pictures on my phone. And I just remember looking at these going, this is incredible that someone could actually make this out of sand. Like, how artistic is that? I want to be good at anything in my life as good as these people are at mushing sand together. But there was also this weird, tragic part of seeing these sandcastles. Because as beautiful as they were and as intricate and as detailed as they were in these works of art, a week later, none of them were there. And something about that was kind of heartbreaking to me, that these works of art are so temporary. And I feel like they're worth it. People should be looking at these in galleries. That's part of what happens when you build a sandcastle. You know it's going to go away. You know at some point the waves are going to come in. You know at some point the wind is going to blow. At some point these sandcastles are going to be destroyed. And you know what? They could be the most beautiful works of art, but in the end they're not made to last. Don't build a sandcastle out of your life. Right, these people didn't just have a foundation of sand. They had a life of sand. Why would we build something so important on something that is so temporal? Especially when Hebrews 13:8 says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Right? That's a foundation that is proven. It has a track record, but it also has the insurance policy for the future. Like, you're good. He's the same. It's not going to change. If your foundation is Jesus, it doesn't stop. So when we look at this, so there's this practical side of it too. Okay, like I get it, we should build a foundation of Jesus. But here's the deal. What's the bottom line in your life? Like, what's your bottom line? Is it Jesus? Is it your family? Is it your health? Is it your job? Is it your career? I love the question that someone asks, hey, well, what do you do? Well, that's a loaded question. Are you asking what my job is? I asked somebody this morning, what do you do? That's a difficult question to answer because really, like, what's your bottom line? And I know while some people may not know quite the question they're answering or they're asking, because they really may be asking, hey, what do you do for a living? Or even better, the question, who are you? So tell me about yourself. What's your go-to answer with that? If I walked up to you this morning and said, hi, my name's Joel. Maybe we've met before, maybe we've never met, but assume we've never met. Hey, my name's Joel. What do you do? What are you about? How would you answer that question? Because what that's going to tell me is it's going to give me a little bit of hint of what your foundation is. Are you about retiring? Are you about world events? Are you about making sure everything for your kids is great? Are you about making sure all your bills are paid? Are you about your family? Are you about Jesus? Because the truth is, if there's any foundation other than Jesus in that equation, it's one that's not going to last. The sandcastle. When Jesus is our foundation, when the teachings of Jesus, even the Sermon on the Mount itself, when we can take these teachings and live by them, it gives us a foundation that lasts, not a temporary one. See, building your life on a foundation of faith in Jesus prepares us for both now and eternity. It's not just a, hey, let's get my heaven card, right? Let me get my fire insurance, make sure I don't go to hell. Like, it's not about then, it's about now and then. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If Jesus is our foundation, it impacts how we live today and it impacts how we live tomorrow. Jesus is in it for the long term. The other thing we see with what happens with Jesus, when we make Jesus your foundation, right? You're prepared for a life of action. I love this concept. And actually, I read this in a commentary this week, and I just had never quite thought of this. And I've read this passage 1,000 times, like many of you. This isn't a new passage. It's one of those that we know a lot. It's a great visual illustration.
We grasp it easily. It's an easy teaching. Except the way that we view it is, okay, we got to make sure the bottom is good so we're safe, we're secure. And while, yes, that's true, the point of a foundation isn't just to stay there forever. That's not the point of a foundation. The point of a foundation is to build on it, to do something. In Castle Rock right now, in downtown, they're building this, I think it's called like Castle Rock Encore. It's like a living, shopping, parking garage complex. They have big cranes. They've been working on it for months now. But before they ever built a wall, they took months just to get the foundation ready for this building. It would make no sense if they worked this hard to dig all this dirt out, right? They had to tear buildings down, dig all this dirt out, pack the dirt really hard, and then repack it, then pour concrete, right? It would make no sense for them to do all of that. They just go, you know what? I think we're done. We're getting out of here. Hopefully you guys will enjoy living and shopping here. That would be pointless. You got to build on top of it. You got to put the exterior in. You got to fix up the inside to look nice. You got to lease out the bottom space to tenants so the shopping will be nice. I don't really care about the shopping part. It would make no sense for them to just build the foundation. The foundation is a starting point. It's not where we're finished. You build a foundation to do something else. I'm sure at some point you've seen one of these buildings that they've abandoned halfway through, or maybe they get the foundation poured and a couple walls up, they just stop. Or maybe you've seen a building where it's been torn down and just the foundation is left. And that foundation no longer has a purpose. It's not holding anything. It's just a slab in a field. The foundation is the starting point. It's not an ending point. But too often we approach our faith as the ending point. All right, we accepted Jesus in our heart. We're good. We're good forever. It is. It's that fire insurance policy. Man, I'll tell you what. I grew up in a Southern Baptist church, and if I didn't hear every other week, if you don't know that you know that you know, you could go hit by a bus and go burn in hell forever. Like, that's like the Baptist thing. It's not my thing. It's not about fire insurance. It's not about being saved from hell. It's about getting a foundation of Jesus because he's called you to do something here and now. But he's also with you yesterday, today, and forever. You have a solid foundation to do something, to build something. In this one sermon that we're at the very end of Matthew 5, 6, and 7, right? In this one sermon, Jesus taught about loving others, forgiveness, witnessing, transforming behavior, personal relationships with God, trusting in God as a source of provision, seeking more of God, living a life that honors God, anger, lust, divorce. And it's not a comprehensive list, but none of these is the ending point. None of these lists of achievements that we could check off or trust God with is still the ending point. These are all starting points. The teachings of Jesus are a foundation, right? The actions, the building of the house is what we do in response to lives that are devoted to what we have learned from Jesus. Hebrews talks about this, and this is one of those verses we're not quite as comfortable with. Hebrews 5, verse 11. About this we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you, again, the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food, right? So this is written to the Hebrew people, and Paul is saying, look, you should be being teachers right now, but instead we're having still to teach you, right? You're supposed to be on solid foods. I got a baby, right? Well, she's pretty much a toddler. That's terrifying to think of. She's a baby, right? She has been in the process of switching from soft foods to solid foods. The reason why is because I can't have a teenager who's just eating baby applesauce anymore or baby food. Some of that stuff is gross anyway. Right? At some point, we got to eat solid food. You can't understand how good a filet mignon tastes if you only ever drink milk and eat baby food. Medium rare, asparagus on the side with a truffle butter on the top, maybe a nice risotto. Church is dismissed. I'm hungry. You can't understand that if you never advance, right? We can't just drink milk. We've got to advance to something more. And this is what Paul is saying. He's telling this to the Hebrew people. You should be teaching this now. You shouldn't still just be drinking little sips of milk. You should be on solid foods. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. Don't be a child in your faith. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment, trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Therefore, and this is the weird verse, right? Let us leave the elementary doctrines of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and faith towards God. Paul's saying, look, Jesus laid this foundation, and that's great, but stop visiting the foundation. We have to press past the elementary teachings of Christ. And here's the deal. I struggle with this because all my life I will continue to study the words of Jesus and the teachings of Jesus. They're that important. But if I'm only stuck on this whole fire insurance, if I'm only stuck on the point of, all right, I'm saved for then, I'm not looking at now, I'm not pushing past those elementary teachings. And it's hard to think of Jesus as teaching elementary teachings because he's God. But what Jesus gives us is what he's talking about in Matthew 7. It's what Paul's talking about in Hebrews 6. Let us press past. We have this foundation, so let's do something with it. There is a next step. When too many of us are good with, hey, we came into church, we accepted Jesus, we came to the front, we prayed a prayer, we got a little wet in church that one time, now we're good to go. We checked off the list. We got our foundation. Well, maybe it's time for you today to start building something on it. Maybe it's time to build the next level of that house. Maybe it's time to say, all right, God, what do you want me to do? Joel just said a few minutes ago, we need children's ministry workers. Maybe that's it. Maybe it's going across the street and talking to your neighbors about Jesus. Maybe that's it. Maybe it's your coworker. Maybe it's starting a Bible study. Maybe it's you studying something in the Bible you've never studied before. Whatever it is, it's different for each of us, but we've got to start building. There's action steps after the foundation. Charles Spurgeon, in reference to Hebrews 5, had to say this, right? Let us go from the school to the university. Let us have done with our first spelling books and advance into the higher classics of the kingdom. I love that idea. Advance to the higher classics of the kingdom. I want to do that. Anybody else want to come with me? Because I think that sounds like a lot of fun. And I think that's something that we can do together. Because the truth is, once we have the foundation and we start building, you don't do all the building on your own. Chad worked in construction for a long time. Hey, Chad, how easy is it to do a project just by yourself? Super easy? Yeah, super easy. You never want help from anybody else. And never, right? That was sarcasm for those of you who can't hear it online. What are you prepared to build on the foundation of Jesus? What will you do? Besides get something in your eye. Wow, that really hurts. I'm not crying, although maybe a little bit because that did hurt. Who will you teach? Where will you go? What will you write, share, sing, or do? Because your foundation is solid and you're ready to move on and build something else. There's another thing we see that foundations provide. All right, when we make Jesus our foundation, we're prepared to weather the storm. Jesus uses this direct analogy in this passage. When the storms come, what's your foundation going to be prepared for? You see, because sometimes we convince ourselves that our foundation is going to be okay because we've weathered storms in the past. But no matter how hard the sand is, it's going to eventually erode. Well, I have some pictures. Eli, go ahead and throw up that first picture. This is a house on Lake Michigan in a little town. Actually, it's a village ship called like Sedona or something. I'm not sure. If Luke was in here, I'm sure he'd be able to tell me. He's from Michigan. Right, when this picture is taken, it was just after the porch. You can kind of see part of it down here. The porch had just fallen off of this house. And it's at that point, a big storm had come. And the house has been there for years. At this point, this house has been here for 30, 40 years.
But and it's weathered storms in the past, but all of a sudden this storm came and took away enough frontage on the shoreline that it caused this whole deck to collapse. And they started asking questions like, uh-oh, what's going to happen next? Show that next picture. All right, you can see here, right, it's the same time frame, but they made the choice. They had to condemn this house. You can no longer live in it because the foundation wasn't solid. But look, here, you can look at this house. The house is still there. You can still walk into it. You can still go to the bathroom in it. You can still go to sleep for the night. Like, it's still there. It may not be the safest, but it was starting to get dangerous. Show the next picture. What you see here is after another storm, the foundation is exposed. The basement is exposed. And it's becoming a lot less safe. Now, obviously, no one's in this house. It's way already been condemned. But you can see the impending doom at this point in time. The foundation that's what passed, after a while, it just kept inching away and inching away and inching away until it was exposed. Go to the next picture. You can see so much of it has fallen off that part of the foundation has been broken down. The bricks have started to fall. Right, this house is, I mean, they put a strap between the windows because that's really going to make a difference. The quick fix is trying to fix our foundation because we built it on the wrong thing. You can see, for the most part, right, it's still intact. There's a little bit of cracking up on the windows on the roof or on the top floor. But go to that last picture. The structural damage to the house had gotten so bad that it actually broke essentially what was the spine of that house. I don't just not recommend living in that house. I don't recommend going within 100 feet of that house. After this picture was taken, they eventually, I think it was like a Kickstarter, they were able to raise enough funds to tear the house down. But here's the deal. There's a house. There's a 40-year-old house. For 40 years, it weathered the storms. 40 years, the sand was packed hard enough. And maybe your foundation, right? Maybe it doesn't seem like it's a bad thing, right? Building our foundation on our families seems like it's a good thing. We love our kids. We love our spouse. We love our parents. Family seems like one of those things we're always pushing. We should love our families. Yes, but if your family is your foundation, at some point, it's still a foundation that's going to give way. People are going to die. Parents, grandparents die. Sickness comes, illness comes, people disappoint, people break your heart. While family's good, and it definitely should be part of your house, can't be the foundation. Careers are good, right? Having a job is a good thing. But if you spend your entire life focusing on a job, that job's not going to hold up for you in all of eternity. Now, with Jesus as your foundation, I think you can build a job. I think a job is part of that, but if it's your foundation, it's going to disappoint. Sand is still sand. And eventually, it's going to fall away. You see, Jesus promises in John 16:33, right? In this world, you will have tribulation. But then he goes, but take heart, because I've overcome the world. There's no foundation stronger than I am. And this is Jesus, right? This is what he's teaching us, right? The very end of the sermon. Where he's taught all of these things about how to live a life and what it means to truly follow him in this good life, in this better life. At the very end of it, he's going, look, you've got to make this your starting point. You've got to make this the rock. You've got to have this because this is going to weather the storm. This is your long-term plan. This is your starting point for doing something else. This is why I'm teaching you. This is at the end of one of the most important things, one of the most important things we could ever read. And Jesus is going, but this is us just getting started. Because there's more to do. We got to make sure our foundation is right so we can do the more. You see, a foundation built on Jesus, it's going to cost you everything. Cost you giving up your whole life for it. But no other foundation will ever sustain you. No matter how good it seems. It costs everything. And maybe like me, when I was selling that first house, you get upside down because it costs so much to fix the foundation that you feel like you've paid everything. But the value was that I was able to sell that house. I was able to move. It was a starting point for me. I was able to move to what was next. Jesus will cost everything. We have to count the cost of following him. It's giving our own lives to him. But there is no other foundation that will, and there's supposed to be two L's in that word. I typed that out. That's my fault. There's no other foundation that will sustain you. That's it. That's the point. You're not going to do it on your own. You're not going to do it without Jesus. But when you include him with it, oh, it prepares us for such a bigger, more significant life and eternity. So here's my question. What's your foundation? What's really your foundation? I know we're sitting in church, we're watching church online. It's easy to say, well, Jesus is my foundation. But who are you? What are you about? Is it Jesus? Do some of you need to reevaluate your foundation? And look, the work is expensive, but I promise you, you can't afford not to do it. Because it's the only foundation that's going to sustain you.